And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And again, thank you to Dr. Sharon's part one of the divorce show, 2 to 3, every third Tuesday of the month. And she's a great psychologist and healing of divorce. And now we have truly one of my favorite attorneys. And it's not only because your technical expertise and your great sophistication, but it's really you have a heart of gold. I mean, you are just, it reminds me of like Little House on the Prairie, where you're just sort of like a country lawyer, very, very kind. And of course, I'm talking about Joe Collins.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, I am good. And Collins and Collins is your firm. But did I describe you right?
Well, we like to think ourselves as good old country lawyers, but
yeah,
not high tech or complicated. I suppose that's what it is nowadays, but you know.
But you're a person. I mean, you can relate. People can relate to you. You sit down, you talk to them, you care about people. And that to me is like such a huge difference maker. You know, every industry has a stereotype. Certainly CPAs do, like myself. And
what do you mean, bean counters have a stereotype?
Exactly. And you know, but it's always nice when you break the mold of the stereotype, and it's noticeable, and you're noticeable.
Well, we always have that joke, you know, if we get rid of the clients and the lawyers, we could probably settle more cases. So.
That's a good point. That is a good one. But I do like your firm, and family law is what you concentrate in.
Right.
And that's a divorce show here. And again, we're not promoting divorce, but we're certainly a resource center.
Definitely.
To give information, to make great decisions. You got to make decisions, whether you go through with it or not. But you have to know what's out there to make best decisions, what, for your kids and yourself.
That's right. Sometimes it's not your decision.
You know, that's a really good point. You're talking about when the courts intervene, right?
No, if your spouse wants to file for a divorce, you know, and sometimes there are cases with the court intervening and, you know, when Child Protective Services comes in or something like that. But, you know, sometimes you don't always have the ability to decide whether you're getting a divorce or not. Arizona's a no-fault state.
Yeah.
You know, they do have that. They passed about 5 years ago, they passed the Covenant Marriage Act where you can have a marriage that has to be terminated by some cause, but normally you don't. And so if your spouse wants a divorce, you're getting a divorce.
Yeah, and that makes it tough. And it's still pretty high, the divorce rate. Do you know what the divorce rate is out there these days?
No, I know it's better than 50%.
Yeah. I heard it's been a while, but 67%.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
I heard second marriage is 75%.
Wow.
Is that, from your experience, the second marriage seems like, you know, like, okay, I've had enough. I had one fight, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, lots of repeat customers.
Yeah, see? That's right.
That's terrible, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's what happens.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because you'll get somebody that comes in and they'll talk to you about divorce and, you know, then they'll call you a couple weeks later. No, I'm not going to get divorced. We're going to try to reconcile. And you can almost pick whether or not it's going to work by what they've told you.
Wow, you're probably right most of the time.
Yeah, about 90% of the time you can probably. It's probably sad that I can do that, but, you know, most of the time you can say, well, they'll be back.
Yeah, it's a tough one. There's no question about it. And we started talking the last couple months about custody. I think we left off of about the rights of non-custodial parents. Do you want to start there?
Well, yeah, that's where kind of we left off. We talked about how to make a custody decision, and the court's got to look at what's in the best interest of the child. And they look at, you know, we talked a little about morals, and we talked about values and stability, things like that. But recently, I've seen a greater increase in either non-custodial parent rights or relocation, and that's really when non-parental rights comes in mostly is with relocation. I mean, the other thing is sole custody. The non-custodial parent, or the parent that doesn't have custody, doesn't have sole custody, there's always a question, well, do I have right to school records? Do I have right to medical records or doctor's records? And you do. I mean, the statute says regardless of whether you have sole or joint custody, you have a right to access to those records. And it even says if somebody prevents you from getting those records, you're entitled to have your costs or fees associated with trying to get them. Hmm. So, you know, you want to make sure if you don't have custody, if your spouse has custody, that you still have your name listed as a parent in the school records and that you're getting access to that stuff. I call it the big boy and girl rules. You have to, you know, you sometimes have to go out there and get those records yourself. The other parent doesn't necessarily have to provide you with all of that stuff. You should be proactive and try to get that information on your own, but they cannot prevent you from getting it. You're entitled to it.
So that's very important. And so just knowing that, will keep you involved, of course, and maybe prevent any other fights or going back to court if you know the rules.
Sure. Oh, sure. That, and if you know what's going on with your kids, I mean, that's a huge thing. You know, all of a sudden you get a bill for braces and you didn't even know they needed braces.
Oh,
or
yeah.
You get these uninsured medical expenses or find out that they've got to have surgery or something like that. You know, if you're following up and talking to the doctors and getting records and finding out what's going on with your kids, that that could prevent all that.
Yeah, very, very important to know these rules. And do you think when people get divorced, typically the attorneys go over these rules with them so they can prevent future issues?
Some do. And those that even those that do go over it, a lot of people just don't pay a lot of attention to it, don't listen to them. You know, the biggest fight that I've seen is you have one spouse who's used to the other one providing them with information. Usually you have a stay-at-home mom or somebody like that. And they generally, oh, you know, Tommy got a B in school or he's not feeling well, so I kept him home because he was sick. So the husband or the spouse that generally works gets information from the other spouse. Well, when they get divorced, sometimes the one spouse thinks that that's got to continue, that they need to still get information from the other spouse. And at least from my position, I don't think that's how it should work. I think that both parents need to be adults and get the information. Now, of course, we need to be cordial and civil with one another and provide information if we get it. You know, if it's – but, you know, teachers nowadays, they'll – with email and everything else, they'll mail copies of grades. You know, go give them a stack of envelopes with your address on it if you use mail anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but to get email or whatever, and you can find out what's going on with your kids.
Now, here's a question I've heard people ask before. It's not quite on this – sort of on this topic, but how about the rights of new spouses? So, you know, you get remarried. Let's say both sides get remarried. Are there rights of new spouses? How do you – you know, some people like, hey, I don't like that new spouse relating to my kid that way. You know, that type of stuff. Talk about that.
Well, it actually kind of dovetails in. The short answer is a new spouse really doesn't have any rights, but – and if you look at the outline I put on there for later on, there's a concept in the law called in loco parenti. It's way down at the bottom there. But it's a Latin term which means in the place of a parent. So you'll have a step-parent that comes in, and they're a parent for a child, especially if a mother or father's gone and out of the child's life. That new parent or the step-parent who gets in there can actually petition the court for visitation with the child. And they can be like a parent in loco parenti, like a parent, because they have a relationship with the child and it's in the child's best interest to continue that.
So what's a case like that where the step-parent married the biological parent or the other parent and the other parent, like, passed away or something?
Well, either passed away or is just not in the picture. I mean, there are many, you know, mothers or fathers that are just, they just disappear. Not in the picture anymore. So you've got, let's say you've got a spouse, a wife, she remarries. She marries a guy that has three kids. And she then has a couple of kids together, and they have five total. He has three from a prior marriage. She basically stays home and takes care of the kids all the time. Well, 10 years down the road, they decide they want to get divorced. So the mother, wife, who stayed home with those five kids, she may have the right because the other mother, the biological mother of the three children, is nowhere to be found. She's just gone, disappeared, done her own thing. She may have the right to petition the court to have access to those other three children that are not biologically hers.
Could she ever get full custody?
Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. There's possibility of that as well. Generally, they don't do that if you have a parent that's capable and willing to care for the child. So, unless there's some serious issues with that one parent, you're not really going to get custody, but it's a possibility. But when you talk about a new step-parent, somebody who's just married or, you know, you've got a mom and a dad and they both of them just remarry, do those step-parents have any rights? Not really, not at all. But I'll tell you, most courts like to take the attitude, we all just need to get along and, you know, we need to accept. But that's where a lot of fights come from. I don't like talking to the new wife. You know, he won't email me. It's her emailing me, and she signs his name, and I don't like talking to her. I don't want to talk to her. He's terrible. And it's usually the other way around. Oh, it's his new wife, and I don't like talking to the new wife, and she's terrible. And, you know, and sometimes it's interesting because you'll see a parent, and unfortunately a lot of this happens with guys, you know, like guys really don't have much interest in being involved in their kid's life. They meet a girlfriend, and she wants to be involved, and she goes, you need to be involved in your kid's life. And she pushes that guy, and all of a sudden we're back in court litigating. He had no interest whatsoever before, but then he meets this girl, and now he wants to be involved in the kid's life. And most of the judges go, oh, we think that's great and wonderful. But, you know, then the mom who's thinking, it's just the new girlfriend. As soon as the new girlfriend goes away, we're not going to have this problem anymore. So we just got to get rid of her, you know?
Well, there's been some movies out about that. One was who was that? Well, I think it was called Three Guys and a Lady or something.
Yeah, I think it started out as something else.
Tom Selleck.
Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah, and then it evolved. And that girl who had the daughter now, and the daughter was older, she was going to marry some guy in England, but he had it arranged that she was going to ship the little daughter to boarding school, you know. So that was a problem. And then the other one with Hayley Mills, remember? And then they did a remake. Maybe Tommy remembers that. It was Dennis Quaid was in it. Remember, it was who's that girl that always gets in trouble now? You know, the young actress.
Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the twin movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What was that called? It was actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, they had it as it's a Disney movie. And they have remade it. Dennis Quaid was in the new one. I still remember the old one. They went to camp, and they met at camp. And
they were twins.
They were twins, and mom and dad split them up. And,
Now, let's analyze that as it relates to legal rights.
That's terrible. I can't watch those kind of movies and do that. You got to be kidding me.
I know, but there's two aspects to that. One is that they split up the twins. The mom got one and the dad got one. Is that a realistic thing in real life?
No, not really. I suppose a court would approve it if the parents agreed that was best for the kids. I mean, courts, in my opinion, they rubber stamp a lot of what parents think is best for kids, and it really isn't what's best for the kids. A lot of times parents agree to it because it keeps the peace.
But that was unusual. They didn't even know they had a sister.
Yeah, I think that's terrible. That's terrible. If I were the judge sitting on a bench, I mean, I might take both kids away from both parents. I mean, you got to be kidding me. That's just something terrible, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was rather strange. And, of course, they were, you know, one was in England and one was out here in California, I think, actually. Now, the other aspect of that movie is what we're talking about. Dennis Quaid had a girlfriend. And her plans was to ship Lindsay Lohan to boarding school. Of course, she was shocked when she saw two of them.
Right.
That's a pretty good movie, though.
Yeah, they went camping, and they tried to scare her away. You know, the honey for bears, and the bears came in. And
yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was. So there's a lot of truth in, or untruths in movies. No matter,
really? No, they're not really true?
Well, I mean, there's – but no, from the twin standpoint.
Oh.
Yeah, but from sending the boarding school thing – that is probably, I bet people do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the time you see kids going off to boarding school.
Wow.
I've debated it myself a few times.
No way. Really? That's funny. You're going to send me to boarding school.
That's right.
Anyway, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Joe Collins, a great family law attorney, and we're talking about custody issues. We're talking about rights of the non-custodial parent. That's very important. Also, rights of step-parent. I thought that was very interesting. We also talked a little bit about Lindsay Lohan. Yes, it's true. We still don't know the name of the movie. We're going to have to find that out when we come back right in about 2 minutes. And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins. Great family law attorneys and more.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Divorce Show every third Monday from 2 to 4. Of course, 2 to 3 is Dr. Sharon, great psychologist. And from 3 to 4, it is Joe Collins of Collins & Collins, a great family law firm. And we've been talking about non-custodial parent rights and step-parents' rights. And one of the big things you said, well, before we get into that, is relocation. And I'm going to give some myths of relocation. You could say, Dave, you are absolutely wrong on that one. Or maybe I'll be correct.
We'll keep score here. Yeah. We'll see how many we can get.
Well, myth one is, or I don't know if it's a myth, but what I've heard is that if you, it doesn't even matter who has custody or not. If you want to go out of town, you got to get a court approval. Myth or reality?
Depends on what judge you ask. So you're partially right. So
I get a half a point.
If you read the law does not require it. But there are many judges that will take the position, you better come ask the court for permission or you're going to have a problem. If you read the statute basically says, look, if you want to leave the town and you have sole custody and you have a good reason, for example, you've got a job or health reasons or something like that, you can go until the court makes a determination. If you've got joint custody and primary care of the kids, same thing applies. You can go and if you've got a good reason, if you've got a job offer, if you've got a health condition or something that compels you to go. If you want to go just to get away from everybody else, that's not a good reason. But I've sat in more courts in front of more judges that say you should file a petition and ask for permission to leave.
What's the consequences if you don't?
Oh, the consequences, you got to come back.
Oh, so that's what it is.
Well, not you. The court can't order you back. Kids get to come back.
Oh, and that could be bad. So now if there's no primary parent, what's the rule? You better get the judge's
permission. Better get the judge's permission.
All right, so I get a half a point on that. Now I've also heard is if the non-custodial parent, let's say, you know, they have joint custody but non-custodial, they can't just arbitrarily take a kid out of town, even on vacation, without getting permission from the custodial parent. Is that myth or reality?
Myth.
Really?
Generally what they'll say is, it really depends on total tally of the circumstances, but it's a myth because usually court orders will say, look, you can take a vacation if you want. You don't have to get permission, but you do have to give them an itinerary or let them know where you're going. You can't just pick up and disappear for 10 days and then come back. So usually the court will require some kind of courtesy notice. We're going to be in California, New York, wherever it is that we're going to be. So you can't just pick up. Now, prior to a court order being entered, if it's a marriage, the preliminary injunction does prevent you from removing the child from the state of Arizona without permission from the court or the other parent. So if it's if you don't have a court order and you and the divorce is filed and served, that preliminary injunction is going to prevent you from taking that kid out without permission.
So what? When is kidnapping? When it's your own kid?
Yeah. Parental kidnapping.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and there's a federal statute on it as well. I mean, when you take the kid longer than the court order allows.
Oh, gotcha.
If it's for a short period of time, they usually call it custodial interference is the crime. But I actually had a client where the court ordered dad to have custody, and she was supposed to do the exchange on a Friday afternoon in the judge's courtroom, and she didn't show up. Mm. Disappeared for 18 months. FBI ended up finding her, and they returned the child to dad, and she got charged with parental kidnapping, and I think they actually pled it down to parental or custodial interference or something like that, but they charged her with kidnapping.
So what happens if you get convicted of parental kidnapping? You go to jail?
You can go to jail. It's a felony, just like, you know,
ooh,
depending on how long you keep the child away and the circumstances. Yeah, it's a felony, just like any other felony.
Oh, man. So you got to be careful on that.
Not only do you go to jail, you could never see your kid again. You can never, in that particular case, had to have supervised visitation with the child because they were afraid she'd run again.
Man, a flight risk.
Yeah.
Talking about a flight risk.
Yeah, the statute says you sometimes can have to post a bond that you're going to stick around. You don't have to post money with the court. And
it's
just
messy.
Just like a criminal.
Just follow the court.
Follow the orders of the court.
Yeah, that would be.
Even right, if you don't agree with them, you got to follow the court orders.
All right, here's another one. Let's hear a situation. Someone has a couple kids. They want to get divorced. They live in, let's say, Arizona, because every state's a little different.
Right.
And the wife, though, wants to take, they're going through a divorce, they're both going for custody, but the wife wants to go out of state, take the kids. Who has advantage in the custody battle? The husband wants to stay here with the kids and wants custody, where the wife says, no, I want to take the kids out of state. And the kids are about 10 and 12.
Oddly enough, I had almost the exact same
kids. Really?
Oh, yes.
This is a true story, too, but I won't name the people.
So, what do you think? Who has the advantage?
I think the husband.
We've got to give you credit.
The guy staying in state has advantage. That's what I'm saying. And I'll give you the reason, and then you could really knock me down on this. But because the kids are familiar with school, there's family here. The wife in this case, and it could have been husband, but this is a true story. The wife wanted to go to a whole different state, just didn't know anyone, and take the kids in an environment they weren't used to. And I'm saying in this case, it was a husband, but the spouse that wants to stay put would have the advantage. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, give me some knuckles.
You got one.
And so he won.
There you go.
He actually won, yes.
Well, I had a similar case. As a matter of fact, mom packed up. It was only one child. She packed up the child and was driving out of the state. Oh. And dad's hired a process server to follow her out of state. Oh. She's going to Texas. I think she got served in Tucson with court orders.
Oh.
But she continued to go out of state, and she had family in Texas. Her parents lived in Texas, so she wasn't going to a situation where the child didn't know anybody. But relocation cases are very difficult for that reason, because you've got kids, and especially when you're talking about 10-year-old, you've got kids that are familiar and they have a consistent environment. And if you try to take them out of that consistent environment, it's very difficult. So you've got to prove when you want to move out of state, you've got to prove that it's going to be better where you're going, that your circumstances are going to be better, either financially or for health reasons or whatever. You got to have some. You don't necessarily have to have ties or family there, but it always helps to have ties or family. Yeah. When you take the, and most judges say, you know, even in a divorcing situation, you know, what's the most consistent thing a child has is school.
Yeah,
that's the consistent. Exactly. At school. I mean, when you're bouncing back and forth from parents, and you know, parents may move from location, house to house or whatever, school is kind of the consistent thing. I had one judge whose mother didn't even move out of state, moved from Peoria to Mesa.
Oh.
Judge pulled her back and said, you're not moving to Mesa. You need to go back to Peoria, because it was such a long drive that dad wouldn't be able to get his visitation or access. And the court said they need to go. He says, I don't care where you live, but they're going to the school that they've been enrolled in for the last 5 years.
Really? So it is big.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge, huge issue. And most of the time when the parent is staying, they have a slight advantage, but it depends on the facts. But I always say that they have a slight advantage. If you want to relocate, The one that wants to move, it's a very difficult thing to do to move. It's an uphill battle. But there are some things you can do to tilt the scales in your favor. One is if you get a better job. If you're working here making 10 bucks an hour and you find a job making 20 bucks an hour in California, boy, that's a huge advantage. It's gonna better your life and the child's life because you're making more money.
Is that with the wife or does it matter?
Doesn't matter.
But what if, let's say, the husband, let's say in this case, was making $100,000 a year and the wife could make $70,000 by moving out of state, but the husband's already making $100,000. Does that?
The court's going to look at whether or not the circumstances for the parent and the child who want to relocate is going to improve. So it's going, and that's just one factor. The money is not the only factor. It's just one factor in many. The court's got to look at whether the child's going to handle the adjustment. It's always helpful if you're going to move somewhere you've got family. If you want to move to Pennsylvania and your mom lives in Pennsylvania, that's going to be helpful. Especially if you visited Pennsylvania and visited your mom, that's even better.
Yeah.
If the child's never visited grandma, that's going to be tough. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors the court has to consider. You know, whether the, you know, I've had cases where we kind of call it Phoenix assassination. You try to say Phoenix is such a terrible place to live but compared to this other place.
Yeah.
It's so much better that it's going to – the weather's better and they have parks and it's a small town. And
Hawaii,
And the crime, well, I think I'd go with them. But, I actually had a client move to Hawaii during litigation. But there was really no contest on that one. So, but, yeah, that's a huge issue. If you want to move, you want to make sure you get your ducks in a row before you move and you want to make sure you've got – you know, if it's not a good job, you want to have family where you're going. You want to move kind of, hey, we're moving back to a place where we used to live. And we've got cousins and we've got, you know. The other ones that I have had recently is marriage. Somebody met somebody, lived in a different state and married them. Why'd they do that before they knew they could live in that state with the kids? I don't know. But, yeah, she got married to somebody who lived in Utah and she was here in Phoenix. And then we were arguing with the court for 8 months as to whether she could move to Utah and live with her husband.
Oh, my God. Well, that's really odd. Now, let me ask you this. Let's say they separated, not a legal separation. The wife, let's say, took the kid back to California, and the husband really said, I don't like that, but didn't do much about it for 3-4 months. Problem when they start the divorce
proceedings?
It's
going to be a problem for the husband.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's acquiesced. He's basically not done anything.
So that's a problem. So anyone out there, you know, watch out, what you're allowing if you don't ultimately want that.
Right. If you have a decree, if you've got a divorce decree or custody decree entered, and you want to move, you're required to give them 60 days notice that you're leaving. You give them 60 days notice that you're leaving and where you're going – and when the date is that you're leaving, and then they have the obligation or the right to go to court and try to stop you from leaving. The legislature has passed kind of an odd statute. That's why I say some judges say you need to get a court order before you go. However, if there's no litigation filed, if you don't have any custody orders, no decree of divorce, nothing's been filed, there's no court orders whatsoever, there's absolutely nothing preventing you taking those kids wherever you want, except the factual circumstances. If you just up and leave, you don't have a parent's permission, then the court's going to look at the factual circumstances. There's no court order. But if you violate a court order and take the children, that's such a huge issue because one of the factors the court has to look at is whether or not the parent who's moving is going to allow access when they move.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, yeah, you got to
look at that. So you don't want to delay. So if you get separated and your spouse takes them out of state, you should file very quickly.
File something very quickly, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that makes sense. Now, one last question and we'll take another break. The question is, at what age is it less important? So we talked about 10, 11, 12-year-olds and the stability. What if they're 17-year-olds they're a smart 17-year-old? They're already out of high school.
Already out of high school?
Yeah, they're genius 17-year-olds.
I was going to say, if the 17-year-old wants to move with you, I don't think there's a judge that's going to stop him.
Okay, so that's not an issue then.
No, especially because at that point, the desires of the child at 17 are going to have more weight than a 12-year-old. But you show me a 17-year-old that's going to want to leave their friends and move somewhere else. And,
good point.
Yeah, that's going to be the hard thing to find.
Okay, one more myth. The younger the kid, the more it leans towards the woman.
Myth.
No, really? In the old days, maybe, right?
Well, in the old days, and maybe there's a few older judges on the bench that'll lean that way that would never admit it. But
not anymore, huh?
Not anymore, no.
So you could have like a 6-month-year-old, and And the male could have equal opportunity to get custody?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've had many women come in and argue, and I've even made this argument. That's a three-month-old child, and they're breastfeeding, and they need to be with mom and not with dad. And so I've even had judges just, when the order comes down, it's bottle feed.
Really?
Yeah, but I've seen women make that argument many times.
That is interesting. So that is a big myth.
Oh, yeah.
We've dispelled many myths today so far. Why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Joe Collins, great family law attorney, and very important to know this stuff if you're contemplating a divorce, if you're in the middle of divorce, even if you're out of a divorce and maybe yep. you missed something, you want to go back to court, that's always a possibility, and we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins. Great family law attorneys and more.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the third Tuesday of the month,
from 2 to 3 and then 3 to 4. Of course, the 3 to 4 hour is Joe Collins, family law attorney. And we've been talking about non-custodial parent rights and relocation and myths. And we're going to play the myth game again. I came up with some more myths. And one is this. Child support. Let's say there's a court order. Well, there's got to be a court order for child support. And let's say the two exes are friendly. So they just modify it up or down. Let's say they modify it down and because one of the spouses is compassionate and when the other spouse isn't making as much money. So they avoid court, avoid cost. Myth or not, and I say it's not a myth, you better have a court order.
It's not a myth that you better have a court order?
No, you better have a court order.
You better have a court order.
The myth is if you do it on your own and if it gets lowered, you could be tagged still for the difference.
You can.
And I think people don't realize
it's not a myth. I mean, I've got more cases where, and that's one of the big fights. You go in for child support enforcement. Well, she agreed to take less money.
Exactly.
Well, is it in writing? Is there? Did you come ask the court if that was okay?
Can you put it in writing without the court approving it?
You can try.
What would the court do, you think? Depends
on
the judge?
There is case law out there that says that child support's for the child, and the judge is the guardian or the person that's supposed to take care of that for the child. So if the court doesn't agree with it, the court does not have to approve it. However, it's pretty rare the court does not approve those type of adjustments. Although, I just, oddly enough, had a case this last month where there was an argument as to the child support was $950 and father said, no, she agreed to take $600 a month. And wife got on the witness stand and said, well, yeah, I didn't agree to that, but I'm willing to give him $600 a month for about 3 months because that's probably what it took him to get back on his feet. And the judge said, okay, I'll reduce it for 3 months, and then after that, he's got to pay what's been court ordered.
Really?
And stuck it to him. You would not believe. They hit him really, really hard.
Oh, my.
At $600 a month, he probably would have owed $10,000, and at the higher amount, he owed $46,000 ultimately. So, yeah, you're talking a $30,000 swing there. You better get it in writing, and you better get it approved by the court.
No question.
99 times out of 100, that court's going to approve that reduction, even if it's not consistent with the guidelines if both parties agree.
Really?
Oh,
so that's great information. Now, the opposite, let's say you had a lower child support obligation, you're friendly with the ex, and you realize, you know, your income went up, that the other ex said, you know, we could go to court. I think you're going to owe me more money, but do you want to just pay me a little bit more, you know, 100, 200 more without a court order? So in that case, the person paying it is paying more, so no problem, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, but it's not enforceable.
Right, but if he does it through the term, end of the term, they're all happy. It's
right. Everybody, why would you go to court?
Exactly.
You know, if the one that's receiving it goes to court and said no, he agreed to pay a higher amount.
Yeah.
That's going to be not enforceable.
Yeah.
So a lot of times the court will say, look, if you give somebody any money outside of child support orders and it doesn't go through the clearinghouse,
it's
a gift.
I've heard of that too. Yes.
Yeah. So there is this concept in Arizona. If you pay directly to the individual, sometimes that's okay. And I say sometimes because people pay me a lot of money to fix that. But if you're paying child support, you need to pay it through the clearinghouse because then you'll get credit for it. If it's not paid through the clearinghouse, it may be considered a gift. And if you pay $20,000 or $30,000 in child support, and that's all a gift, and then you have to pay it again because you didn't pay it through the clearinghouse, that's going to hurt you. That's going to hurt you. So the best advice I always give my clients is pay through the clearinghouse.
Why not? It's not that hard.
No, it's not. Get a court order. Get a wage assignment. You don't even have to pay it. They'll take it directly out of your paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, if you and your spouse agree to it, just agree to it. If it's higher or lower than the guidelines, tell the judge why. You know, and like I say, 99 times out of 100, they'll accept it.
So here's another. Could this be a myth or not? I say it's not a myth, but I'm going to say it. Is it cheaper to try to do it on your own, a modification of child support, risking what you don't know, maybe you're going to have to pay it again, or is it just better get an attorney, get it done, get it modified, safe and sound? I say it's a myth typically, especially with big money if you're trying to do it on your own.
Oh, always get a lawyer. Yeah, you're asking a lawyer that question.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I agree. No, I really agree with you. And
if you're a wage earner and you have a W-2 and your spouse is a wage earner and has a W-2 and you can look and see what the income is.
Easy.
And you can do the worksheet. There is a process called a simplified procedure that you want to look at. But I'll tell you, there's too many pitfalls and problems that you could run in. Spend a little bit of money. If you don't hire the attorney to do it, at least spend a little bit of money to go talk to the lawyer.
Exactly.
Did I do it right?
Yeah.
Look at it. Tell me, is this right? Do I need to change something? You know, spend that money to get the advice of an attorney. It's just, you know, unless you want to pay me more money to fix it later. And that's generally what happens. If something comes up and there's a problem and you got to pay a lawyer twice or three times as much to fix the problem that you created in the first place.
It's like the muffler commercial long ago. You can pay me now or pay me
later.
That's
right. That's
and
right.
And it's a tough one. Okay, here's another myth. A couple that's getting divorced, by the time the divorce ends, one of them has a new boyfriend, girlfriend. Myth or reality?
You want my experience?
Yeah. I'm going to say reality. One of them ends up with someone. What's your experience?
Let me ask you this first. How many of them have the girlfriend before the divorce starts?
Okay, that's another good question.
How many of them have the girlfriend or the boyfriend that causes the divorce?
Oh, wow. So let's talk about
we're talking
that.
About 60-70% of marriages end in divorce. I'll bet you at least half of those, the divorce is because of another relationship.
Girlfriend, oh, my.
Or something like that, an affair, something like that. So, yeah, I think that in my experience, the majority of people that end up in a divorce, by the time the divorce is final, before there's ink on that decree, they've got a new significant other.
That, you know, that's, I don't know. I just think people need time to heal, don't you think?
I agree. I think people rush into it. I think that's why, and I think you also told me, second marriages, there's a higher rate of divorce for second marriages. I think that's why. I don't think people take the time to sit back. And realize now. I think we're built to be with others. I think we're meant to be with other people.
Sure.
But I think we need that time. And I think really the people that you're hurting are those kids more than anything.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think it's confusing for kids, and it's just unfortunate, actually. So
yeah, that question: Are you my new daddy? Are you my new mommy?
Oh yeah, you see that all the time, and it's really unfortunate. And the impact on kids, it can't be good.
It's just not.
Just can't be good at all. And now, some other issues is modifications to custody. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I guess you can get custody, and then another party says, wait a minute, you know, maybe they don't like something they've seen. They want to be closer, whatever. What do you see about that?
Usually with the modification, the legal standard is there has to be a material change in circumstances that warrant the modification of custody. You can't just... I want joint custody now rather than sole custody, or I want more parenting time now than I had before. You have to have a material change in circumstances. Usually kids getting older is a good reason. You know, kids, when they get older, they start doing their own thing. Sometimes kids want to live with the other parent because one of the factors is what's the desire of the child. The court has to consider that. So if your child turns 17 and now he wants to live with dad instead of mom, that's a good enough reason for the court to change that arrangement. But you can't just go to court and say, look, you know, I've got a bigger house and I've got a bed and they've got a smaller house. I don't have three or four other kids and they've got three or four other kids. If that's the way it was when the divorce happened, that's not a material change in circumstances. And then the court has to look as to whether or not it changes in the child's best interest. So I've seen a couple of cases recently where I want more time with my kid. Well, what's different now than when the divorce happened 2 years ago? Not really much of anything is changed. So there really isn't a reason to change it. I want more time is not enough to change a custody arrangement.
So you got to really think it through right from the start what your life might be like 2 years from now.
Well, if your life is materially different, then yeah, there might be a reason to. But again, it can't just be... You know, I want more time. It can't just be, you know, I have a bigger house, therefore I'm a better parent. I've actually heard that argument.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
And they made that argument, brought in pictures of the bedroom and, you know, everything else. And, you know, they live and they share a bedroom and I can have his own bedroom. And you scratch your head and go, okay, that means he's a better parent.
I bet that's fun for you up when you're litigating that.
Had a pretty good time with that one. But, you know, it's got to be something more than just, you know, I want to change things. Again, child getting older, wanting to spend more time with one parent over the other, you know, maybe troubles in school, maybe, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons why kids and things ought to change, but you got to have a good reason for it.
How about the opposite? Rather than wanting more time, you want less time, so you go back to see if you have custody and you want the other person to have custody. Ever have that situation?
That's a pretty rare one. No, I don't think I've ever really had that one.
It happened though, right?
Yeah, actually, I think I've heard of it happening on occasion, and I've actually had my partner's actually told me a story where it was not a fight over who was going to get them, but everybody wanted the other parent to have those poor kids.
That's tough. Yeah.
You know, it can be tough. I mean, people like their freedom. Kids really, they're a sacrifice to have. They weigh you down. I mean, I've got four of them myself, and, you know, you've got a few yourself. They're just not.
Four.
You got four as well? See there, so you know how
but
it
they're
is
older
to have
than
four.
Yours now. Yeah.
But when you were younger and you had to care for them every day, there were a lot of things you couldn't do.
Yeah, no question
and
about
so
it.
And so kids can be burdensome. Now they're a good burden, don't get me wrong.
You got to be committed.
Sure. And I know parents that, you know, I just don't want custody. I want to see them every other weekend. The biggest problem we have, people want to have more custody, more access time because it reduces their child support. So they want a 50-50 split, but they don't take them 50% of the time. They want them, you know, every other week, but they don't really want to take them every other week. So because they know that if they have them more time, they're not going to pay as much child support.
Now, have you ever had a situation, I think, I just thought of this, I thought it was amusing, maybe it could be a movie someday, and we'll share the movie rights.
Sure.
Where you get divorced, you have custody, and then you get remarried, and you got a whole new family moving in, so you got another couple kids coming in, and then all of a sudden you get divorced on the second wife, where the first now wants custody, and you're involved in two custody issues at the very same time, two different families.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen that?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of my best customers. What are you talking about?
I can imagine that. I mean, that could drive you nuts. One issue would be bad enough. But when you got two and two exes coming after you?
Here's one. I had one. My partner had this one where he represented mom. Mom had three kids, three different fathers, and mom wanted to move back east. So she had to file. There were two petitions, not three. We only got lucky. There were two petitions to prevent her from relocating. So two different judges, two different cases. We actually convinced the judge to consolidate them into the same case and try them all at the same time. We won it, and she was able to relocate. But she was litigating against two different fathers in that case.
Oh, my gosh. That is difficult.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely different set of facts because you've got a different dad. It's just a tough case.
Wow.
And you talk about blended families nowadays. You know, I remember when I was growing up, watch that movie, Yours, Mine, and Ours. That's the first thing that came to mind when you talk about blended families. But it's for good or for evil now, it's the blended families are a huge issue. I mean, I've got a grandma right now who has she doesn't have custody, but she's got 50% access right to a child. You know, dad's got sole custody, but grandma has the kid more than him.
That, you know, that's incredible. And that's an issue, too, of course. We only have a couple minutes left, 2 minutes. But grandparents' rights, and I think we talked a little bit about
that. We've talked a little bit about it.
But that's, you know, that can be important at times.
More and more grandparents are raising their grandchildren because many parents are unable to care for their own kids, which is kind of sad. But, you know, that's kind of the way it is.
It is. I mean, especially, you know, in this day and age when you think, you know, finally the kids are out of the house and
right.
And now you got the kids in the house.
Freedom. I got to be, you know, do what I want. And then all of a sudden there's a toddler living with you.
But I do admire the grandparents that take on that responsibility.
Oh, definitely.
I
definitely.
Mean, they want truly the best for these little kids. And they're usually little.
Oh, yeah. Like I say, most of the time they're toddlers. You know, they're very young kids. And like I say, when you're in your 50s and 60s and the golden years, 70s, and you want to be able to stay home and sit in the rocking chair and watch TV.
Yeah.
Or go to Europe,
then,
or
travel, and then all of a sudden you've got a 4-year-old you've got to take care of.
It's a whole, it's deja vu all
That's
over.
That's right. Coloring books, crayons, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, my gosh. It's well, I guess they get a second chance of being a different parent.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
Unless
try
they
to
were.
Do it right this time.
Yeah, that, exactly. Joe Collins, always a pleasure. How do they get in touch with you?
602-788-7227 is the office number. And if you want to email me, you can email me at joecollins@collinslaw.net.
Wow, this is great. Always good stuff. Next month we'll talk another topic. But I'll tell you, you are articulate, you're clear, you're
Thank
compassionate.
You
have a great kindness to you. Definitely call Joe, 602-788-7227. Everyone have a great night. Go D-backs. They're honoring the Arizona Rattlers tonight at Chase Field. See you tomorrow.
Outstanding.